Lord, we pray you would, by your Spirit worldwide, all of your men and women around the world, lifting up Christ through the only person in the whole universe that could do that, which is the Holy Spirit. He lifts up, he reveals essence of every problem, the issue of every question, the solution to every crisis. He, the Holy Spirit, shows us your love for us and the ultimate answer for everything in life. Administer to our hearts your wisdom, your love here by your presence. For we have nothing to glory in, but we are here as your people in Christ's stead by faith in him. For we have been saved. We are anointed of your Spirit. We are called by your name. We have your word and doctrine in our soul, in our spirit. And we are believing you and feeding from the Lamb of God, eating from you the table that you have set for us. Oh God, thank you. And hear us, minister to us, lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. And then we will go to Isaiah 50. We have a lot to say. And I think, you know, as we prayed, the Spirit will speak to us. Miracle has happened in our family, and that is my mother has come here to Baltimore. Yeah, so she will be in the 11 o'clock service, I believe, here this morning, first time. Hasn't left New York State in like probably decades. So 95 years of age, and thanks for your prayers, and really amazing. 1 week ago, as maybe many of you know, I was not here. My wife's mother, who is also 95, is in care up in Connecticut, and we got the news that she had stopped drinking and eating. So, though we don't miss church services, but for this reason, we just had a window of opportunity, so we just went up that day, drove up 5 hours, spent 3 hours with my mother-in-law, who is an amazing person. And then came back. So thanks for your prayers. Great. People get old, huh? Well, it's written here. Isaiah chapter 46. Would you turn there with me? It isn't the current events isn't the only reason why I choose this text. And there's a lot more to say about getting old. And maybe in the future we will say a few things about it. I think it's fantastic to get older. And here in Isaiah 46, and I will have a picture up on the screen a little later, but will you read with me 46 and verse 3? Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob. You could read it out loud with me. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. God is saying, let me explain that simply. God is speaking to Israel, and he's saying, every time a human being, a Jewish person, in the context. It comes into the world. I am God. From that, from in the womb, Psalm 139, we have it there, that great text. And all my hidden parts were written in a book even before they were formed. A modern way, I like to just say it this way, my DNA is in a book even before I was born. Actually, the DNA was within my mom and my dad, wasn't it? And it was also in a book before I was born. And God is the God of the birth of a baby. How many times when you have been there in the hospital and you see the newborn baby and you just say something like this under your breath, my God, that is amazing. Or more sacredly, worshiping him, but in awesomeness, whatever, however it comes out, you know what I'm saying. Pascal said it this way, and I think it's very profound. He was a 17th century scientist, mathematician, and believer, very brilliant man. Said, what is a greater miracle? The dead being raised from the dead? O King Agrippa, how is it that you've counted a strange thing that God would raise the dead? That miracle, or two cells coming together and dividing so many billions of times, and the cell saying, one cell, the next one saying, I am a kidney cell. Another one, I am a nerve cell. Another one, I am a blood vessel cell. And on it goes, and you have the birth of a human baby, human being, or anything, birth of anything. And you just say, wow. Okay, I can tell now I'm not going to get to my message. Verse 3. I am the God that carries you from the belly, even when you're a little guy or a little gal. God is carrying you. Oh. Look at verse 4. Well, verse, did we finish 3? Which are carried from the womb. Now, carrying is an important word, because if you go back to verses 1 and 2, you see the idols are being carried. We had a message a while ago with the pictures of Hindu gods that are being carried in India on platforms and carrying gods. And Pastor Bamuni's story about in the Ivory Coast, a Burkina Faso man going to the Ivory Coast to teach about his idols. So he had his idols in the bag, got on the train, went to the Ivory Coast, taught his little seminar on his idols to teach the, encourage it and teach idolatry. And then he left. And he went on the train and he went back to Burkina Faso, some 100 miles or whatever the distance. And he realized he forgot his idols in the train station. And he goes, oh, I got to go back and get my idols. And it occurred to him later when he was saved. Those idols didn't have the ability to get up and take the train themselves. I had to go get them. I had to carry them. Do you see it? Because verse 1, Bel bows down, Nabo stoops, your idols were upon the beasts, upon it the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaded, they are a burden. They stoop, bow down, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves gone into captivity. They themselves have to be carried. Now, I believe in life it's very simple. People carry their sin, carry their lust, their burden. I heard recently about a millionaire in California adopted a foreign baby, the child, or a young man, and then immediately started to sexually abuse the young man. And he adopted the young man from a foreign country. Terrible story. Horrifying. a millionaire, a successful man, but there was a cancer in his soul. There was sin in his life. I don't care how smart somebody is. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what they look like. I don't care where they live. Man has a problem, and he is carrying his problems. He is carrying his lies. He is carrying his burdens with him. And he cannot carry. You see, Jesus came into this world, and he's the one that carries us. That's the plan. But the contrary happens. We carry our sin. We carry our problems. We carry our complexity. We carry ourselves. We carry our flesh, you know, our fears and our shame. But I want to show you this morning that Christ is not like these other gods, and he carries us. It's amazing. Now go to the text, please. Even to your old age, verse 4, I am he. Even to hoar hairs, that means your white hair, will I carry you. Even when you have white hair or no hair, I will carry you. You don't have to carry me. I will carry you. Wow. What? I will carry you. Boy, that is good news. I will carry you. We sang that beautiful hymn, the blood washes our sin away. We don't carry our sin. Wow. To be forgiven, a child, abusing a child, and to be forgiven and restored and made new, and a new heart and a renewed mind, and have the Spirit of God dwell in us. This is God's gift. We cannot and do not underestimate it. When you get your white hair, and it's coming, when you get your older age and you're the infirmity of your body, when you don't move the same, you don't have the same energy level, you are increasing in another way. You're increasing in your experience, in your faith, in the knowledge and the wisdom of your trials. I remember when I withdrew from the body, Pastor Chevelli mentioned the body. I remember when I got kind of complicated and nasty in my heart, spirit, complicated and confused in my life. I remember that, and God carried me through. I remember falling into sin and bad habits. I remember my sin in that way. I don't remember my sins. Don't misunderstand me. Hebrews 8:12, God remembers them no more, so I remember them no more. But I always remember I am a sinner. And I know what that is, but I also have seen God carry me. I have seen God's grace never leave me. God's grace build me up and lead me in my faith, right? White hair. He said, I will carry you. And these age periods, youth, adolescence, young adulthood, middle age, married life maybe, family life, pressure. What's that called? Mid-age crisis. No, what's that called? Midlife crisis. Maybe I didn't thank God I didn't have that. And I didn't actually know why I didn't have it, by the way, and we could talk about that sometime. But later on, and you are knowing in your heart, God is doing this. I don't have much to boast in. But God is God. Look at the next rest of it. It says, verse 4, even to your old age I am he. Even to your white hair I will carry you. I have made, I will bear, I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Let me show that picture now up on the screen, please. There's a Greek goddess called Venus of Milo. I think the same as Aphrodite. And there's her picture there. And there's a story about an educated man who was disabled by disease and heart sick and weary. In one of the art places of Paris, there's this famous statue, the goddess of pleasure. And by time, the statue has lost both its arms, but still preserves much of her supreme, enchanting beauty. At the feet of this statue, this man cast himself down in remorse and despair. And to use his own words, "There I lay a long time, and wept so passionately that a stone must have had compassion on me. The goddess looked down compassionately upon me, but she was helpless to console me. She looked as if she would say, 'See you not that I have no arms, and that therefore I can give you no help?' So vain and useless is it to look to any for spiritual help and comfort, except to him who said, 'Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save.'" How far? This statue has no arms. Our God's arms are not shortened. It goes all the way. By the way, that millionaire went to prison for his crime, and he will not get out in this lifetime. But that arm can go, arm of God can go all the way into the prison, all the way into the man's heart. And our God is a God that forgives men of their sin, that carries them in their life, that restores a human being to a godly image, that we would be like Christ. "I am crucified with him, but I live. But not I, but Christ lives in me." God is looking at the human race in pity. He pities us, and he knows our frame, and he sees our heavy burdens, and he says they are unnecessary to carry, for I myself, this is the amazing thing, I myself became sin. I myself came into the world to carry your sin. I myself, I am God and I hate sin, but I am the God that shed the blood. Who will you liken me unto? Look at the next part. It says, verse 6, "They lavish gold out of the bag, weigh silver in the balance, hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god. They fall down and they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him, the God, set him in his place, and he stands. From his place shall he not remove. He will not move. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, and nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O transgressors. Remember the former things of old. I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." We must be realizing two things in life over and over again: my sin and what it is. I am an older man now. I'm not an old man, but I'm a little bit older now. But it's growing in my heart to like be part of an answer, to be part of the life like you are in, and we all are. And to say to the young people, there is so much foolishness in the heart of man. But remember, our God is not like their God. And the fruit of our God is love. Now go to Isaiah 50 with me, please. And I want you to see. I would love to go from verse 4 to verse 11. And maybe we will get through it. But it's so beautiful. This is the Messiah. This is the living God. Oh, that's amazing that God would become a man and come here. How low, how humble, how willing, how real, how in your face he is, how willing he is to face off with his enemy. Come, bring the enemy close to me. It's written in the scripture. Bring the enemy close to me, God says. Come on, bring him here. I want to look him in the face. I want to face him, face off with him. Oh, you cannot. You are way off into heaven. You are God. You are the Almighty God. You are way off into heaven. I mean, what do you mean, God? And he goes, no, I will come down. I will humble myself. I will go right into the face of every sin, in the face of every enemy, in the face of the devil himself. Bring him close to me. I am a God, not like other gods. I am God. I am the God that shows up in the bedroom, in the hospital, in the police station, in the prison house, in the depression, in the fear, in the betrayal. I am the God that goes with Peter when he denies me three times, and I will never leave him or forsake him. And even Peter himself will be or is ordained and called of me. For I am God. I am the God of the weary, the hurting, people of all kinds and everywhere. Look at verse 4. Here it goes. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. Now, if you take your time and this, I'm sorry to rush. I'm not rushing, but these are big pieces of thoughts from the Word of God. These are big pieces. I counted six body parts here from verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. And the fact that God has a human body when he came, when he was born in Bethlehem, he was always existing, always a man, always the second person of the Trinity, always the Son of God, eternal, appearing in the Old Testament before Bethlehem, appearing to Abraham, appearing to Moses. He was God, and Christ walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve in what is called a Christophany, an appearance of God in a human form. And he appeared, he ate with Abraham. He was a minister. He was the manifestation of God in the Old Testament. Something like people would say an angel. We don't know what material it was, but he was not yet born of Abraham. Not until Mary had conceived from the Holy Spirit was Christ incarnated in flesh. And that is a primary heresy through history, that Jesus was an angel. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that. He was not. He was God and man. He was the God-man. He was Almighty God who is from everlasting to everlasting. He and his Father always communed with one another. Proverbs chapter 8, John 1, 1, Hebrews 1, 8, Hebrews 1, 9. We must learn our Bible and know the doctrine and understand the differences, because it would be the devil's lie to say that God created an angel and sent the angel to come here. No, this is greater. God came here. And that's beautiful. Okay. What did he have when he came? He was a learned person. He was educated, but not like traditionally, by rabbis in Israel. Where, who was the man that taught him in John chapter 7? Where did he learn this doctrine? They were amazed at him when he was 12 years old in the temple in Luke chapter 2. Where did he get this understanding? He teaches like and speaks like a highly educated person. He is able to pull things out of the scripture from here and there by memory. Where did he come from? Who is he? He's a learned man, for God has made him, the Father has made him a spiritually educated man, very deeply so. You could not take Jesus and get him off track. that Christ had this ability, this wisdom. Luke 2:52, he grew in wisdom and stature. Verse 4, yet I should know how to speak. Many people speak, but they don't know how to speak a word in season. How to say something in the appropriate time. And I remember we go through the Gospels and we see Christ saying things, and those are appropriate times. When Mary lost her brother Lazarus, she said, he will rise again. And he said, I am the resurrection and the death. When he met Peter, after he denied him, he said, do you love me? He knew what to say. He knew how to say it. He had the Spirit of God in his mind and in his heart. When he was with the Pharisees, he knew how to stump them. He knew how to silence them. I love this little word of wisdom from Jesus when they asked him a question. He said, I will answer you if you can answer this question. They go, well, what is that question? Was John the Baptist of God or of man? And if we say he's of God, then the question is, why didn't we follow him? And if we say he's a man, the people will be angry at us. So we don't know. Then neither will I answer your question. By the way, it's a good little test for somebody asking about our ministry. Was Pastor Stevens of God or was he of man? Was a man of God, Billy Graham, was he of God or was he of man? Well, we don't want to say. Then perhaps you're not serious. Maybe you don't want to know more. The next step would be, and God is like that, by the way. The beginning of wisdom is to fear him. And if I don't fear him, if it is only a game, then I don't make the next step. I had a philosophy teacher in college, and we read a book, In Search of the Miraculous. And then I was listening to this professor about philosophy, and I kind of got the idea that this is a game, that this is just a school, a class, that they're not really serious about finding truth. In Search of Truth, really? If it was around the corner, would you go look for it? I don't think so. I don't know about it. It seemed he was more on, to be honest, I think he was a little bit, maybe on drugs or something. Okay. That's fine. It's none of my business. It doesn't matter. What matters is how about in my heart? What am I looking for? What do I want? Let people be, by the way. Let the blind lead the blind. Let them be. That's the nature of the landscape. There's a swamp over there. There's a wrong road over there. There's a bit of poison right over there. There's a deceitful person over there. That's the landscape. Let it be. You and I are not here to correct those things. You and I are here to hear a word in season to he that is weary, and to give one to him that is weary. Have you ever heard a person speak and it seems like you ever hear one like in a tin can? I heard they said in Eastern Europe you could take a communist speech, and I think it could apply everywhere, and just it's a page and a half, and they just read it over 8 hours long. I've just, and even the technology and the speaker system made it sound like that. That's all. That's all that it is. It's same old, same old. It's life without a clear sound. And I don't want you, I don't want I myself, I don't want to follow these stupid things that have no arms and cannot carry me. I don't want to have something that leaves me high and dry or empty in the gutter somewhere. We are in a crisis in our country of drugs. the overdosing of drugs and all this stuff, and depression and suicide. They say teenage suicide rates are like way up, I forget, 4 or 5 times what they used to be. And they attribute it to also our technology and social media. What are these young people learning? Do they go to Sunday school anymore? Are they learning about fearing God? Is God showing up? Is he God here saying, I will carry you from your childhood all the way? Look at verse 4. How to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakes my ear to hear as the learned. Tongue and ear. The Lord God has opened my ear, verse 5. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. He opened my ear. In Bible college, he did. He did. I used to go to church, just wander around mentally, counting the tiles on the, looking around. Then that pastor, that was the message that before him, a short period of time, there was a Pentecostal preacher up in upstate New York, and I heard him. And there was a time when he hugged me at the door, and I felt the love come through him. I felt the love come through him, and it encouraged me. And I would like to be like him. I'd like to have that kind of love. I'd like to have that kind of care. And then I was praying in those months, Lord, send me to somewhere. I want to be in a church. I want to be in a church that's doing something. I want to be where there is soul winning going on. And in Las Vegas, Pastor Perkins got this. They go downtown in Las Vegas, and they wear these shirts on Friday night. And it says, need prayer, question. And on the back, Jesus loves you. And they say, many people come up to them and say, you know, I need prayer. Maybe they need prayer before they go in the casino. I don't know what's on their mind. I don't know what they need prayer for. But I know that our God wants to say to people, and sometimes it's just a perfect timing, and there's a word in season where you are able to say, because God had opened up your heart, and in your heart you got a word, just like Jesus, morning by morning, God was putting in his heart with something spiritual that he had the authority where he could say, take up your bed and walk. And the man did. And we see all those manifestations that are amazing. Look at verse 5. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I think if I had a bunch of goofballs like the disciples following me, I could be rebellious. But he wasn't. He worked with them. He loved them. He knew they were from God. He knew that they would make it. He knew they had a calling. And one of them not. But 11 of them did. But he was not rebellious. A missionary that goes somewhere, he might hit hard places in his life and in his ministry. But you have to hear from God and not be rebellious. When God says, come on, let's gather together in my name, I cannot be rebellious and turn back. But, okay, God, what are you going to say? What part of the Bible are we going to open up? What are you going to say to me? How are you going to minister to me? I will not be rebellious. Jesus could have been rebellious different times, and I think especially Gethsemane, when he said, take this cup from me. And he couldn't do it. And he was trusting the Father. And he prayed. And, you know, 3 times. And an angel came and comforted him and encouraged him. Then on the cross, he could have been rebellious. And they said, come down. If you are the Son of God, come down. And he could have said, in your face, I come down. In your face, I'm going to come down. But he was not rebellious. He took the hit. He took the shame, he took the pain, he took the terrible profile being a throw away. My son Justin told me, he said, imagine being in the Ravens Stadium in Baltimore with 70,000 spectators, and you are pointed out, and they take you out to the 50-yard line, and on the Tron, what's that called? What's it called? I can't hear, I'm sorry. Jumbotron. On the Jumbotron, the big screen, the computerized, and they text, or they write up on the screen, all your sins. And you're at this 50-yard line standing there, and all your sins are on the Jumbotron, and all the 70,000 people are looking at you, and they're looking at you, and magnify it many times, and say, Jesus Christ became our sin in the face of the world, in the face of all the demons, in the face of all the angels, and in the face of his heavenly Father. And he's there, naked, taking all our sin. And he's innocent, but he becomes guilty because he's going to carry us. He's saying to his enemy, come close to me. I can face you off. I give my face to you. That's the next verse 6. He says, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I'll take it. I was thinking, like, you know, in those construction sites where they have the plywood or the paper, whatever, the sheets of plastic, the construction sites, and then you come to a place and there's a hole there and you could look in. But you kind of don't want to look in because you don't know, like, if you're going to get hurt if you look in. Like, it could be dangerous maybe, or maybe you don't think that way. But there I am, I'm looking in. And like, Jesus is not afraid to look into our lives, our sin, our world. He's not afraid of the shame and the spitting that comes on his face. Because his face is not like a face of shame. It's a face of God. I will carry you. Yeah, I'm not like Venus. My arms are long. I will carry you. I will show up. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I am the God that carries you. I am the God that loves you. And then go to the next text. It says, verse 6 or 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. Meaning, okay, go ahead, give me your best shot. Go ahead, you pluck off my beard, but you can have my whole face. Go ahead, go for it. Here I am, and I'm not leaving. I'm going to face death, go through it, and be victorious. I am God. I care for you. I care for you. Yeah, you're going to have troubles, like, look at me. Yeah, you're going to have your problems, but look at me. O ye, the ends of the earth, look unto me. I am God, and there is none like me. That's why we do mission work. There is no God like our God. There is no Buddhist God or Hindu God like our God. There's nobody like our God. There's no you God in the universe like our God. There's just the same thing, you know. Verse 7, we'll finish. The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I set my face like a flint. When Peter tells me not to go to Jerusalem, I will deal with him because I am determined. I am determined. I know I shall not be ashamed ultimately. I'm at the 50-yard line and up on the Jumbotron, the mega Jumbotron, and all the world and everything, but I know who my God is, and he will raise me up on the third day, and I'll be highly exalted and sit at his right hand forever and ever. And I will deal with all this stuff that the human race is living in. But many will not hear me. Many will not care. Many will avoid me. Many will not pay any attention. Many will be ignorant. Many will be blinded. Many will just be paying attention to their own stuff and have no idea that there is a Savior in the world. But there is. Verse 8, he is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Here it is. Let him come near to me. Where is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Wow. Behold, the Lord God will help me. This is the Messiah speaking. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Listen, human race is passing. All our homes are going to be passing. All our families will be passing. Our jobs and money and our health and clothes, all passing. Everything will be passing. But there's one thing that will remain, and that is Christ and his kingdom. And all they that believed in me will not be ashamed. We'll be highly promoted and blessed by the life that we have lived by faith. And you might say, Pastor, how can this get in me? How can it come be part of me? And the answer, it is in you. It is in you. You have it. It is in you. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying. Holy Spirit is ministering this very moment to us. And we realize, let me hear it again. Let me realize again who I am. Let me realize who Christ is again. Two things. My sin is kind of, people don't see it. And secondly, who God is, people somehow don't see it. But when you see it, it's amazing. But then lastly, verse 11, behold, all that kindle, I know I'm skipping 10 because of time, but it says, all that kindle a fire, compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire. What is a spark? It's a weak, little, burning ember that's gone. Sparklers, July 4th, sparks, machine, sparks come. Can you read a book by sparks? No. Hardly light a path by sparklers. Hardly. Sparks are not good fire, but that's the fire that people live by. It's they belong to the club. It was party time Friday night. That's the sparks they live by. What are you doing on Monday? Let's go golfing on Monday. Spark. Golfing's not bad, but you understand what I mean. And movie. I got to go see a movie. I got to go shopping. I got to go buy something. I'm feeling depressed. I need a new pair of shoes. That'll build me. I'll get a new pair of shoes. Man, those are sparks. People live by sparks and they lie down in sorrow. Because when you get old and your hair is turning white and all you got is sparks to live by, it's not enough. It's not enough. You say, I've spent my life in vain. And you say, where is the photo album? I got to look at the vacation. Look at, I was in the Caribbean. Look at the photo. And then you go like this. Look at the photo. Look at Jimmy. Look at the photo. And then you turn the page. Is there another photo? Social media, in some way, for some people, it's just sparks. There's no reality, no content. There's no God, no Christ, no Holy Spirit. And there can be on social media. I don't mean that. Just like television can be a great tool, but much of it can be empty and only sparks. You need the Spirit to fill you. You need a good, fresh view of who God is. And have God in your life in such a way that you will trust Him in every area. And put your face in that hole and say, come on, I'm up for game. Game on. Come on. I showed up. I'm here. Game on. I'm in the game. I'm playing. I'm on it. Yeah, let's go. I'm ready. Let's go. In Jesus' name, our God is that kind of God. Get off the couch. Get in faith. Show up. Go to church. Have a vision. Believe God for all kinds of areas of your life, and you will see God will carry you all the days of your life. And later in life, you look back and say, God did that. God is my God, and there is no God like God. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? I believe some things that were said have gone to our hearts, and that's your business, and that's God's business with you. And I'll tell you, don't limit God wherever you're at in your life. He cares about you more than you could ever imagine. But don't believe a lie. Believe a lie, you'll lie down in sorrow. Walk in Him, and you say, I've already believed God, and I still lie down in sorrow. Yeah, I understand. Life, it can be like that, and we're not denying it. But we're also saying, wait a minute, there is a comforter. Wait a minute, there is a way out of the swamp. There is a way out of Egypt. Wait a minute. I want to believe Him. If you're here this morning, you want to believe Jesus in areas of your life, then do it today by faith. Just say to Jesus, yes. In your heart, talk to Him. And say, Lord, I got to get stirred up in my heart, in my life. I want to believe You. I want to make a commitment to You and be in the fellowship and not back off. I want You to deal with me in my life and be my counselor. And I got to hear from You. Please work it in my heart. I got to have this attitude. And then if you never become a believer, today is the day to believe. You're not joining a church it's not about a church. It's about you believing in Jesus Christ and saying, I want God to be my God, the living God. I don't understand it all, but I want the living God, Jesus Christ, to be my God. And we want you to believe in Him today. Please say a prayer. Jesus, I believe in You. Raise your hand if you're saying the prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe in You. Just raise your hand. Anyone here in the auditorium, we are praying for this on Friday nights. Every Friday night, there's a group of us that are praying that souls come, people will come and be saved on Sunday morning services and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We are praying that there will be people that are coming to Christ. It's critical. It's important. Anyone this morning? Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. On my right, on my left, anyone at all? Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.